All right, More to Come listeners, this is Calvin Reed, now retired, but still like hanging around comics. I'm on the floor of this year's Mocha Arts Fest, and I'm at the Street Noise Books, the table at Mocha with the founder, entrepreneur, visionary in the graphic novel space, Liz Francis. Liz, how are you doing? And thank you for being on the More to Come.
I'm doing great. I love this festival. It's one of my favorites. You know, it's our hometown, but it's also so, it has such a great vibe to it. Like, everybody is just, well, it's filled with New Yorkers for one.
Absolutely.
But people come from all over the country. I saw people, they traveled here from Maryland and Florida and all over the place.
And it's really a great independent comics festival.
Yeah.
You can find individual artists, great companies like your own. But in fact, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background for those who may not know much about Street Noise Books. How old is it and what do you specialize in?
Well, we launched 6 years ago. We have 38 books out, which I think is pretty good.
Now, you were bragging about it when I walked up on here, and I don't blame you.
Yep. No, I'm pretty proud of what we've been able to accomplish in 6 years. You know, we launched partly inspired by the horror at the election of Donald Trump the first time around.
Yeah.
And now here we are back again, and it's only 10 times worse.
Yep.
So our books are, I feel, even more relevant as time goes on. Last year, we decided to start calling ourselves a dissident publisher.
All right.
Because our books are all a little bit transgressive. We're a little bit into resisting the authoritarianism that's taking over our country. So we have, and we try to really publish things that big publishers might shy away from for various reasons, either politically or for, you know, sometimes they don't want to publish something because it might ruffle some feathers. We're all about ruffling feathers.
Yeah, and you've also given, especially in memoir, in people giving people a chance to tell very individual stories.
Exactly.
And individual stories that really have a great reach throughout the culture.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of my thinking, was that I really felt like a graphic novel can really help people to see somebody else's reality. You can't walk in somebody's shoes, but you can look at life through their eyes a little bit when you see how they've drawn their own reality in a memoir, a graphic memoir. This year, we started out being just doing nonfiction, but last year we expanded a little bit into fiction because a couple of things came my way that were just, I could not pass up.
Sure.
They were so important, and I think sometimes fiction is also telling truth.
Absolutely.
So we did a book called You Must Take Part in Revolution last year that was a big hit for us. And
who are the authors?
It's Melissa Chan and Badia Tsao. And they're both Chinese dissident people who are living in exile. Badia Tsao is in Australia, Melissa is in Berlin. But that is fiction, but it's a near future dystopia set in Taiwan and Hong Kong. So it's very, very timely.
Something the authors clearly know something about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But talk us about the books here, and you've got an author here as well.
We do.
Tell us about Chicken Heart.
Well, Morgan Bosher is here representing his beautiful new book that came out in February called Chicken Heart. That's also fiction. And it's a story that he wanted to tell. The main character is a closeted transgender stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Who, you know, at the beginning of the story, you find out that his trans aunt has killed herself. So he goes traveling up to a utopian commune for queer folks up in, like, upstate New York. And it's sort of a journey of self-discovery for him. And I think it's a beautiful book. Morgan drew it all by hand, which is sort of rare. In this day and age, you know, so many people are doing things digitally, and Morgan did it all by hand.
Yeah.
And he hand lettered the whole book.
All right.
So,
old school.
Yeah. I like that. I really appreciate the old
school.
Tell you
what, give me another book that you're, I also just got Punk Like Me.
Punk Like Me is a great book. That's, again, it's interesting because we're picking up the things that are all fiction. Punk Like Me is technically fiction, but it's based on the author's life.
Okay.
So J.D. Glass grew up on Staten Island as a queer woman. and she is into punk rock, and it's about sort of coming of age and coming out back in the 80s. So I was a punk rocker back in the 80s myself. You'll see I wore my Dr. Martens with my special,
my pink ribbons
today, just in honor of punk like me. Because when I saw that, I was like, I just love that era. I think it was a really interesting time in New York City.
For sure.
And so a lot of things take place at CBGB's and Greenwich Village. And it's a great book. And it was written by J.D. Glass, but the art was done by Chris Dresden. And Chris and J.D. are married. In fact, today is their 10th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
That's a really special book.
Well, look, just walking around the floor here at Mocha, looks like business is booming. You tell me you've had a great year. You've got more books than ever before.
Yes. So, it's been an amazing year.
Congrats. Thanks for talking with me. Always good to see you.
Thank you so much,
Keep
Calvin.
Publishing great comics. That's pretty easy for you to do. Anyway, thanks so much for being on More to Come.
Thank you. I love More to Come. Yeah.
Fabulous. All right. It's your semi-retired editor back again on the floor of the Mocha Arts Festival. But this time I have the great pleasure to be here with Charles Cotman, the editor-in-chief of Abram Comics Art. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Day two of Mocha. What could be better?
Yeah. And how's business?
Business has been great.
Yeah.
This is the second day, last day too. But yesterday was packed, and today we're down to, kind of the last handful of books.
Well, you've got obviously a great selection of books. You guys published the whole range of material, fiction, non-fiction in particular, kind of popular scholarly works. I mean, you got it all. Now, I've kind of said what I've seen, but for our listeners who may not be familiar with Abrams Comics, direct from the source, what's your specialty? What are you here to do?
Comic Arts is a division of Abrams, the art book publisher. We were the first to publish like Norman Rockwell and Picasso. So since I came at Abrams 21 years ago, we started doing comics, and our DNA is art books, great art, because that's what Abrams was known for.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done everything from monographs to original graphic novels. We did monographs on Jack Kirby by Mark Evanier, Harvey Kurtzman by Dennis Kitchen and Paul Buell, and Will Eisner by Paul Levitz. We do original graphic novels like The Best We Could Do by T. Bowie. Why am I?
You do it. Well, yeah, I know it is when you. When somebody else. So what do you do? Yeah, right. It's like, okay,
day two,
you do a lot.
Day two, I'm really tired. But yeah, we've done original graphic novels, My Friend Dahmer by Dirk Bachner, Economics by Michael Goodwin, things like that. And then we have Megascope and Shirley Imprints.
Oh yes, I almost forgot about that.
And we have upcoming books.
Yeah, Afrofuturism in the house.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And we have a book by Christopher Benson and Eric Battle, called Framing Emmett Till, which is, to me, one of the most important books we have ever published. It's coming out this fall. It's a story of Emmett Till. It's, while all of our history is being erased, this is an opportunity to make sure that people don't forget what happened. It's the most important story, transformative story in our country's history.
Absolutely.
And Eric and Chris did an amazing, amazing job. It's a book that I'm really
looking forward to. I bumped into Eric on the floor yesterday, so it was great. Hadn't seen him in a while. He kind of pulled my coat to the whole thing. I was blown away. Can't wait to see the book. And
I was
talking with Jacques about it just before you got here too.
Good.
So
he did such a great job. It took 6 years, not for any reason other than it was a book that, it's a hard book, it's a difficult book, and also just finding the right tone for everything.
Yeah.
And some books can't be rushed.
Yeah.
As a publisher, I'm never gonna call somebody like Eric up and be like, could you speed up the illustrations on your drawings of Emmett Till? That's not going to happen.
What could be the most monumental book of the year?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, that's just a kind of a measure of the kind of things you do here at Abrams Comes Up. I was at the table yesterday and I saw Bill Griffith has a new book out.
Yep, Photographic Memory, which is about his great-great-grandfather who is a photographer. We had a murderer's row yesterday. Bill Griffith was here. Chip Kidd was here signing his book, The Veracity Trap, and Panel by Panel. And then Bill Griffith and Patrick McDonald was signing Breaking the Chain and The Superhero's Journey. And then John Leguizamo came by to sign his copy of Ghetto Clown. And he was in between films. He was leaving to go to Texas for a conference. He had like,
but he made sure
the,
he,
we
he
had the perfect
in.
Window, and he yeah. stayed for 2.5 hours and signed copies.
How
does
it? It's great.
It was great.
Had the pleasure of hanging out with you guys at the Miami Book Fair.
I
believe it's one of my great memories.
It was
hanging
I remember
out with
that.
That with both of you.
You did a great interview with him.
Well, it was fun to do.
Yeah, he's an old friend, and he's like the real deal. I love his heart. I love everything that he writes and puts his soul into.
Yeah. So this last year and. Where I believe the last few years has been a tumultuous time in the comics industry. On the business side, I mean, obviously the Diamond debacle, did that affect you guys at all?
Greatly, yeah. Because for about a year until we teamed up with Lunar, you know, our books weren't available in comic book shops.
Yeah.
And that really hurt us, for sure. But, you know, we're partnered with Lunar. We're doing really well now. Our books are being seen and, and ordered. So I think we're on the other side of that. But, like every publisher got
hit.
Oh,
yeah. It's really
we had
sad.
Because we were with Hachette. Our books are, our warehouse is with Hachette. We didn't have the trouble that some publishers had where they were sitting on inventory. And then for whatever reason, when Diamond goes under, they're allowed to sell inventory that they had.
It's,
which makes no sense. If they have it on... what's the word?
It's outrageous.
How can they sell stuff that they don't actually own?
Yeah.
They had it on consignment.
On consignment only, yeah.
And how do you then be able to sell that? So, Hachette, they were very smart. It's like, they're on credit hold. We're not shipping you new books if you don't pay. But other publishers got really, really
hurt.
Screwed.
We know
about Dynamite and places that.
I was just talking with the Graphic Monday people too.
They
kind of caught up into it, but you know, everybody's kind of obviously looking for ways to move on. The market is really enthusiastic about. So we're in a period now where there has never been more kinds of comics material available in more places. So,
Well, like when we started in doing Mom's Cancer, which was in 2006, there weren't a lot of mainstream publishers doing comics. Now, pretty much every mainstream publisher has a comics division.
Yeah.
In fact, I think every mainstream.
I think so, too.
And it's a big business. And, I think that we've found our niche in terms of finding the right balance between commercial graphic novels, art books, nonfiction, international titles, fiction. It's a really great time, and I'm excited by the books we have coming out. We also have a book by Dirk Backer called The Dissidents that's
coming out
this fall, which is about now, but even though it's not about now, it's about 1916.
It's about now.
The underpinnings are all there. So that's all great. So,
I'm limping a little bit because I was here at Mocha in the Morning and marching. I'm getting old, so I got a little knee issue. I was marching anyway. So I'm back here today. Charlie, look, it's always great to talk to you. I mean, it's Abrams kind of represents that the fantasy of what a publishing house of graphic novels and comics would look like. That it's a full service publishing house for consumer tastes of all kinds.
I really appreciate
it. It's impressive,
man. And I'm wondering what are we wearing in your fantasy about what a publishing house should look like? No, I'm kidding.
You're looking on. I don't know about that. Yeah, we'll have to think about it. Because all I see is the books. But maybe they look like you, huh?
The blazer,
nice suit jacket, and jeans.
Good looking publisher.
There you go, right here. Anyway, Charlie, thank you
always
so much. Always good to talk to you. Yeah,
I love you.
Okay, more to come, listeners. We're back on the floor of the Mocha Art Fest. The Independent Comics Festival, sponsored by the Society of Illustrators, and I'm here with Kendra Boileau. You're the director of the Penn State University Press.
I am not the director. I'm the editor-in-chief. I'm the publisher of Graphic Monday.
And the publisher of Graphic Monday,
yes.
The nonfiction graphic imprint. That's also a notable platform in the history of graphic medicine, the publication of graphic medicine.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being on More to Come Here while we're on the busy, very busy floor of the Mocha Arts Fest. So, for those of our listeners who may not know, can you give us a little history of of Graphic Monday.
I certainly can. And it's great to talk with you, Calvin.
Oh, sure.
So we're excited to say that we're celebrating our 5th anniversary at Graphic Monday. We launched in February of 2021. Mm-hmm. And so it's 5 years, 5 very fun years. This is actually our first time tabling at Mocha. Mm-hmm. Mocha's amazing. It's huge. It's loud. It's vibrant. So we're having a really good time here. So yes, as you mentioned Graphic Medicine, Graphic Monday, we started building and listing graphic novels at PSU Press around the genre of graphic medicine, and then over the past 5 years have been gradually expanding the remit to include more socially relevant titles, political, science, history of science, historical studies, just some broader broader themes, I guess I would say. And how many books have we published? I should know this. We're probably at least at 30 titles now in 5 years, or maybe 40, actually, 40 titles, which is feels really satisfying. Mm-hmm.
And for those of our listeners who maybe don't quite get what graphic medicine is, because even for me, who was kind of there when I saw this category starting to form, it's kind of grown, and I guess it's kind of become more coherent in terms of the range of topics that I thought originally that it was kind of just for maybe aimed even at professionals only, but it's really become a broader and just more useful category in many ways.
It is. It's a movement, and it has grown in the past 15 or so years, grown really fast in really exciting ways. So Penn State University Press published a book called The Graphic Medicine Manifesto in 2015. We just published a 10-year anniversary edition that sort of, in the new introduction to the book, sort of tracked the progress of graphic medicine. Graphic medicine is so many things and so many people. So there is the professional component, the practitioners, physicians, nurses, that kind of thing. Also artists who are not trained in medicine. Some are, but some aren't. But they're interested in illustrating and telling graphic stories about medical topics and health and caregiving. And then there are academics. I mean, there are a lot of academics in comic studies and health humanities, English departments who are studying the genre of graphic medicine.
So and it can include memoir, too.
I'm sorry?
It can include memoir as well.
Yeah, and I think some of the really exciting... graphic medicine kind of grew up and became popular because of the memoir projects that have been published in graphic format. Now, I think some of the really exciting work that's being done in graphic medicine, the more analytical work, is examining how comics can be used by practitioners to train other practitioners about the patient experience unsettle the universal patient idea and take into account each patient's personal stories, and people, we can learn a lot about those stories through graphic representation. So I think that's really exciting, watching the professional crowd consume graphic novels and comics this way.
So what are you showing off here? What books do you have? A couple of the books you have that you're showing at the show here.
Our newest title is called Sleepless Planet by Maureen Burdock. This is her second graphic novel with Graphic Monday. Her first book was a memoir. This is about, she has struggled with insomnia her entire life, and so this is her personal quest to find ways to sleep better, and it's very holistic work where she's understanding why she can't sleep is affected by larger forces that have to do
it's a deep dive. I've noticed it's not a short book.
It's not a short book. It's a deep dive. And, of course, she has such a distinctive art style.
Yes, she does.
And she's lovely to work with. So happy to have that on the table. The other titles that have been getting a lot of interest at Mocha are some of our slightly older titles. Iranian Love Stories about dating and relationships in Iran.
That's a timely topic, obviously.
Absolutely. We sold through all of our copies here.
Great.
And then also we have the collection of short comics called Lebanon is Burning, which is sadly very timely and topical as well. Those titles are getting a lot of interest. And
let me ask you, I mean, this has obviously been a tumultuous past year in the business of distribution and selling comics.
Yes.
You know, obviously the diamond debacle has affected a lot of people, but Graphic Money was caught up pretty directly in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you. How's business, and have you been able to move beyond the problems with Diamond's unfortunate legacy?
Yeah, it has not been easy, but we have been able to move beyond. Diamond was our sole distributor into the direct and books market as well.
Yes.
So we were in a good position to sort of pivot quickly because we also have our own warehousing operations for the rest of Penn State University Press's list. So fortunately, Diamond did not have all of our inventory. We had books on the floor because they still have our inventory. You know, we're still waiting to get our assets back from that situation. So we were able to continue selling our books.
So that continues. They continue to hold your inventory.
They are holding,
Wow.
And it's not yet resolved. There's some uncertainty about whether they have been selling.
Well, it seems like they were, or some publishers' books, they were selling them.
And we don't yet know.
And not turning any money over.
So it's been sad. It's been a shame, but you know, we're on our feet. We're looking forward, and we can only go up from here. So
now you distribute yourself into the book trade.
Yes.
And so I assume you're looking for a direct market outlet for.
Yes. Yeah. We actually, our plans are afoot.
Great.
Which I can't reveal at this moment.
That's fine.
We have some plans to cover our bases there in the coming months.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, this is great to hear. I hope business is good. Generally, it seems to be good here at the show for sure.
Yeah.
I think that nonfiction comics, we're just starting to see the impact that they can have in the book trade and in the conventional comics market too. So. Good luck to Graphic Monday and to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And to your sales director there, Paul Harrington, who's a good buddy of mine.
We go
way back.
We love
way
him.
Back. We go
we
back to
him.
Tower Books.
Yeah.
So, long time. Anyway, Kendra, thank you so much for talking.
You.
Great.
Thanks,
you bet. Take care. Okay, once again, back at the Mocha Arts Fest, Independent Comics Festival that we wait every year breathlessly for here in New York City. I'm on the floor at the Kirby Museum. Am I getting the form on the Jack Kirby Museum, a hardworking institution for the king of comics. I'm going to let them explain that. If you don't know who I'm talking about, then we're going to teach you right now. I'm here with the executive director, Rand Hoppe.
That's right.
And your colleague, Steve Myers.
That's right.
Here at the table. Tell our listeners if they don't know about the Jack Kirby Museum.
Sure. We have an actual longer name, which is the Jack Kirby Museum and Research Center.
Okay.
But that's not on our logo.
Okay.
But
it's a very crisp logo.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're a virtual nonprofit. We've been around for 20 years, supporting and sponsoring the work of Jack Kirby. One of the greatest cartoonists ever here.
I can't add anything more to that. He's the guy that I'll have to say that made me a comic book fan. This is the 1960s. I was a DC guy, and I started to see comics by Jack Kirby, and it changed my life.
Changes your life. That's right.
I became obsessed, and continue to be so to this day.
Yeah, he really was. Somebody that comics were his medium.
He was born to do comics.
Like he was born to do it.
And comics that really changed the culture around him. So he changed comic book culture, and now it's changing the book world. I think in many ways as well.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'll talk about the comics culture. One of the things that he was instrumental in was back in the 60s and early 70s was really supporting the people who were developing the Comic Cons. New York and
Comic Con.
Fan culture. He was huge. Mark Evanier has an anecdote about being with Jack at one of the San Diego cons and looking around and saying, well, you know, someday Hollywood's going to come to these things to get their ideas.
Yeah, well,
and, well
how
guess
about
what?
That? Not only did they come, you can't get rid of them.
No, but the book world is
Absolutely.
Reacting very well. A lot of really great reprints.
I think the work that Abrams is doing, or the Charlie Cartman's imprint, doing these Alex Ross books that are in, they're homages, the original works, you know, out of Marvel's continuity, but
that's
really
right.
refocus our attention on his Kirby's style. Writing and drawing.
Yeah,
I'm interviewing myself here, so that's
okay. No, it's interesting that Marvel has liberalized the licensing in a way
to
allow that to happen, which is really, really cool.
And there are really some great works coming out of Abrams comics.
Yeah.
So, what kinds of things do you do as a kind of museum and pop up museum? Because you do exhibitions.
Yep.
There's merchandise, but yeah.
So we have really great T-shirts. People love our T-shirts.
I got several, and probably get another one. Sure.
So we show up at Comic Cons. We'll definitely have really great T-shirts. We often have portfolios, prints, stickers.
Yeah.
Well, last year we were able to make we had a pop up in Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to pull together. It was called From the Ghetto to the Cosmos, and we were able to pull together a new edition of Jack's only explicitly autobiographical story, the 10-page street code.
Yes.
And we made a nice comic book out of that. Very, very pleased with how the reception it's gotten. It's selling like hotcakes, as they say. You know.
And that was at the same time when the street corner was renamed. It's official now, isn't it?
So there was a momentary blip of a street corner. Back in when the Fantastic Four movie was coming out.
Yeah.
But then there was kind of a reaction to, hey, why is that only temporary?
Yeah.
Let's make it permanent.
Yes.
So this guy, our hero, Roy Schwartz, out and made it happen.
Yeah.
He took advantage of all the mistakes that had been made in the past.
And it's the corner of, Delancey and Essex Street.
It's going to be Delancey and Essex.
Yeah.
There's going to be a big event on May 11th.
Monday. All right, great.
There'll be an unveiling at noon.
There's a news brief here.
That's right. And there'll be Essex Street's going to get blocked off at least half of it. There's going to be press events.
I live in the neighborhood, so I'll be there.
You do?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'll be a big event, and we're really looking forward to that. We'll be mounting an exhibit as well.
Have a location yet? Or is it too soon to talk about?
I have a location, but I'm concerned that I don't have the name of it accurate.
I think
it's the Center for Jewish History.
Is that on East Broadway?
It's up here by Union Square.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So
okay.
that's gonna be a cool exhibit that we're gonna have. That's a. You got.
Okay, good. I'd like
some
scoop.
Real news.
I'm a retired journalist, but I still like the scoop every now and then.
Little card.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how's Mocha? Are you here regularly at Mocha?
We are here regularly. I missed last year.
Okay.
But I'm so happy they brought me back.
There you go.
It's really one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
Just I love the spirit of the independent cartoonists that are here. So many people just following their muse and making it happen, which I think is what Jack Kirby wanted everybody to do.
Absolutely. Really, it's great. Well, on that note, Ren, thank you so much for giving us some time here. I'm a big fan. I've always loved this when I see you out and about. So thanks again for
all right, Calvin.
Leonardo, more to come.
Yep. Bye.